Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. You missed it. Hawk already walked into the studio. That's weird. That's unusual. And so are his pants. Bro, are those capris? Or did you wear those in high school? What the hell is that? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got a seamless radio experience for you as well. A very good Monday program. Let's get it started. 1-800-636-8686. Our first interview is at 9:40 Pacific time. So about 35 minutes out, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox analyst, joins me then. 1-800-636-8686. We are talking Arizona Cardinal football today. The Cards have won a couple of games. Chase Edmonds, their running back, joins me in hour number two. In the third hour, a Patriot is going to be on the program. Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy. So that is coming up in hour number three. Big week, too. Jim Rome podcast. I'm already going to start the week by mentioning that because we've got episode number 100. Ep 100 coming up on Wednesday. David Goggins will be my guy. All right, so you have your phone number, and you can find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I want to get to the Open, which is always a recap of the NFL weekend on a Monday. But before I do that, I have got a long-form email that I think I might start you off with. Unless you're ready to roll, Alvin. All right, so here is your email. The email reads, "My dearest James, in honor of this being the anniversary of the day of thy birth, mightn't you recite this lovely poem penned for thee?" I mightn't. It reads like this. "Today is the day we celebrate Jim, so crank it up, Alvy, and let's give this a spin. We give thanks for Jim's health. We give praise he's alive. Of 52 weeks in a year, he works only five. The birthday boy may get a nice new shirt or a nice clock, but the present he wants most is the suit's firing hawk. For his birthday, Jim wants no smooch nor candle array, for he's sparking up later with Nooch and Ira. So enjoy the pie that Janet did bake, because when Beaks arrives, he's inhaling the cake. Birthday wishingly yours, Henry Wadsworth Lesk's fellow and all the clones." Or Janet budgeting wisely for your party by having flight deck hang upside down from a tree with a mouthful of candy while children pummel his dome like a piñata. Funny that you mentioned that about Ritt. Funny that you mentioned that about Ike. All right, so all that coming up. Fact of the matter is, yeah, I'm not really about that day, but today is that day. And there was a long-form poem to read at the top, not to call attention to that day, but rather I'm dealing with a few other issues here that I'm covering. Anyway, you've got your NFL recap, and I hate to start the week by being redundant, but the truth is, when it comes to the NFL, no one knows Jack. We just don't. And I'll tell you what I mean by that a little bit later on. I do want to get to the Dallas Cowboys, and specifically Jason Garrett. That's not a part of the recap. He gets his own take altogether. Jason Garrett does. That's coming up. Also, the ALCS. What an unbelievable game that was last night. Yankees absolutely took it to the Astros in game one. The Astros had to have it last night, and they got it. And what an amazing game that was. All right, so again, I don't want to be redundant, right? But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to the NFL, nobody knows Jack. We just don't. Because everything changes from week to week. I mean, weren't we just talking about Kansas City running the table? Like 5 minutes ago, we were talking about that. Now they've dropped two straight at home. Their quarterback is banged up. Their defense cannot get the hell off the field. And they're only a half game up on the Raiders in the AFC West. Kansas City played a really weird game yesterday. How weird? Patrick Mahomes threw for 116 yards on the opening drive. I said it. 116 yards on the opening drive and had 41 yards in the second half. And it only gets more bizarre. They had a 17-3 lead at the end of the first quarter, and they trailed 23-17 going into halftime thanks to the fact that they could not stop Deshaun Watson on this play late in the second quarter.
Texans looking for the lead. Watson circles, flag down. Watson has got the angle for the touchdown. Deshaun Watson does it himself.
So they couldn't stop him late in the second quarter, and it would stand to reason. If they can't stop that guy late in the second quarter, there's no way they're stopping him late in the fourth.
Fake the give. Watson has options here. Watson, the shake and bake, the twirl for the touchdown. Deshaun Watson puts the Texans in front.
And the only people who had a worse time than Kansas City fans watching that game were Bears fans watching that game because they were watching two guys that they could have had instead of Mitch Trubisky. How'd that go for you, Bears fan? I'm guessing pretty horribly. And speaking of how things have changed over the last couple of weeks, how about we all put a little respect on Kirk Cousins? He had taken plenty from the media, from his teammates, even his coach. Hey, rightfully so, though. He wasn't doing what they brought him in and paid him hellify jack to do. Consistently make big plays and win big games. A former teammate even said that he was the weakest link in that offense going into yesterday's game with Philadelphia. So with everybody coming for this guy, when he absolutely had to have it, he shows out in a huge bounce back game yesterday. I'm like, nobody cared what this guy did against the Giants. Everybody wanted to see him do it against somebody who mattered. Somebody like the Eagles. So he did this.
Cousins, first down, going deep for Diggs. He makes the catch. Stephon Diggs, touchdown. 62 yards.
Was that so hard? I mean, that's what they brought that guy there to do. To let it rip, take advantage of his weapons downfield. And he did. And then he chased that with this.
At their 49-yard line. Play action. Cousins. Diggs. He's got it. Touchdown. 51 yards.
Now you see why Diggs was making so much noise about get me the ball. Get me the ball. And then Cousins did this.
Play action. Cousins to the end zone.
You know, if you're going to make some noise about not getting the ball, and then they find a way to get you the ball, you better make those plays. And he did. And so did Cousins. 334 yards, four touchdowns, one INT, and some happy receivers who finally got the rock. And some breathing room for Cousins himself, and maybe even a new game plan going forward. Now, back to that former teammate who cracked him coming into the game. That would be Eagles linebacker Zach Brown, who played with Cousins in Washington in 2017. Coming into the game, he said that Cousins was, quote, probably the weakest part, end quote, of the Vikings offense. I mean, that's a hell of a line to drop, right? A hell of a line to drop from a former teammate, and if you're going to drop it, you better back it up. You better not get torched by the guy that you called the weakest part of the offense. Of course, knowing Kirk Cousins and the kind of fuel he runs on, he was not going to take that bait. No, instead, he took the high road like you knew he would after the game.
I really do stay ignorant and not read anything, and that's for my best interest. But Zach was a teammate in Washington. He's one of the better linebackers I've played with or against. I have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, if you're trying to write a story about how I was a motivator this week, it wasn't because I didn't know about it.
You like that?
This guy's like, oh, wait, he said I sucked? Oh, I love that guy. That's my dude right there. That's one of my favorite guys. Hey, look, I'm guessing Cousins knew exactly what had been said by people inside his locker room, outside of his locker room, pretty much everywhere else. He knew he needed a big game, and he got it, and he shut everybody up, including Brown, in the process, at least for another week. And for at least a week, the Vikings were who we thought they were. but so are the Redskins and the Dolphins, unfortunately. And then you have the Niners, who, coming off a statement win over Cleveland on Monday night, made another when they came to L.A. on a short week against a desperate Rams team at home who had extra time to prepare, and the Niners still knocked them the hell out. That 20-7 beatdown was a straight hospital job and not nearly as close as the final score indicates. By the way, are we even sure that game was played in L.A.? Are we even sure that game was played here in L.A.? Because they looked, sounded, and felt like they were at a Niners home game. Niner fan took over their house, made himself right at home. Essentially helped himself to anything and everything he wanted. So suddenly now the Rams are spiraling, having lost three in a row for the first time under Sean McVay, and a banged up Niners team that's only going to get better when it gets healthy, suddenly looks not only like the team to beat in the division, but maybe in the NFC overall. And here's something else that has not changed as part of our rundown. The fact that any idiot who said Lamar Jackson should play wide receiver still owes everybody an apology. I mean, at this point, that should be a weekly thing. Because no take was worse at that time, and even worse a year and a half later than that take. You know, the guy who should be playing receiver or running back, allegedly, just went for 236 yards in the air and 152 on the ground and a TD against the Bengals. And no, I don't care how crappy the Bengals are. That is an epic performance. Of all the dual-threat quarterbacks who have ever played in the NFL, you know how many players in league history have thrown for more than 200 yards and rushed for more than a buck and a half in a game? One. Colin Kaepernick. That's it. But yeah, go ahead. Tell me that Lamar Jackson would be better off as a wide receiver or a running back. Oh, one more thing that has not changed. Atlanta's brutal week of sports. Like, that's a city that has endured some rough weeks in sports, but maybe nothing like the past 7 days. It started with St. Louis smashing them in Game 5 of the NLDS. Then number 3, Georgia, favored by 24.5 at home, lost to unranked South Carolina. And then this from the Falcons yesterday.
Ryan on to tie the game. The ball is down. The kick is up. And he missed it. He missed it wide to the left. Oh, my goodness. Bryant ripped his helmet off. He can't believe it as he walks dejected back to the Falcon sideline. Arizona 34, Atlanta 33 with a minute 53 to go.
Broham. You missed that point after. 35. You best leave that bonnet on. Uh-oh! Man, that's rough. Here's a guy who had missed 3 extra points in the previous 11 seasons and just picked the worst time imaginable to miss number 4. Can't put it all on him, but that has to hurt. And for all you Matt Ryan haters, kind of hard to pin that one on him, right? He went 30 of 36 with 4 touchdowns, no picks, and still lost. I didn't even know that was possible. But instead of dumping on the Falcons, man, how about some love for the Cardinals? Kyler Murray, 372 total yards and 3 touchdowns for the win. His second straight win. Second straight game with more than 300 total combined yards. So lots of things are changing. And then some things are not. Like Jason Garrett. He is still the Cowboys head coach. That could change, though. And he's going to get his own take. That's how bad that was. Because that's what you get when you're a desperate team riding a 2-game losing streak, going up against a winless team with a quarterback coming back from mono, and you still get cracked. That's what you get. You get your own take. Oh, and one last thing. Honorable mention to the officials who just about wrecked another weekend and now are halfway to wrecking the game completely. We still have no idea what a catch is. Pass interference has never been more confusing. The rule changes made it worse, not better. And the game is virtually unwatchable at this point. I get that their gig is tough and that cracking the officials is the easiest thing ever. But this is bad. Really bad. Like, replacement ref bad.
After further review, the play stands as called.
This one may get reversed.
First and 10, Arizona, first and 10, Atlanta on the 36.
There's some confusion on the field.
12 men in the huddle, 5-year penalty.
How can the kicking team block in the back?
We also have a dead ball, personal foul, number 93. Red.
Don't understand that one either.
St. Louis gets the ball.
Clock was not running. They were not charged with that timeout.
That's not true, Sam. That's not true.
You can't make this stuff up.
Wilford took his helmet off and went screaming right for the official.
Oh, boy. Well, that's a few bucks.
Never meant any disrespect or be disrespectful to the officials.
One guy goes up, touchdown. The other said no time.
How does MD Jennings not get credit for the intercept?
How can they take that away?
Following the field stands. Touchdown.
Touchdown.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Seriously, were those clowns brought back? Because at this point, I really cannot tell the difference. And neither can anybody else. 1-800-636-8686. What do you want to hit? Here comes Hawk again. I wonder if the guys in New York can pull back and show everybody how absolutely ridiculous those pants look. Bro, are you wearing your children's clothing to work now? Hawk. At Squirrel 2 tweets, it's Columbus Day, and you and the XR4TI crew are working. Tell me how my ass tastes. Yours, Robert Dasmati. Not only does he probably have the day off, he's chasing the dream. He's living the dream. Thanks, Ross. And I'm working on my birthday. Even more incredibly, I'm working on Ritt's birthday. Even more incredibly, the guy glossed Ike for his unbelievable resemblance to Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower shares the same birthday as me and Ritt. I mean, my head's going to explode. This is crazy. We hired a guy who literally could pass as Dwight Eisenhower. And his birthday is the same day as Dwight Eisenhower's birthday, which is the same day as mine. That would be like me going out on the street right now and finding a guy who looked just like John Wooden and hiring him. And then it would be Wooden's birthday the same day as the other guy who looks like Wooden had a birthday. Hey, do any of you look like Thomas Dolby? This is just getting weird now. See, I normally would not care less about my birthday. And I don't. Until I hired a guy who looks exactly like Dwight Eisenhower, who was born on the same day that Eisenhower was born, but 2 years apart. I mean, it's getting weird up in here. I love that song. Happy birthday, Ike. Both of you, Ike. Happy birthday to both you and your dad. Actually, you and your little brother, Dwight Eisenhower. Brother. You and your younger brother, Dwight Eisenhower. How incredible. You're twins, right? That's how you guys have the same birthday. You're twins. All right, it's kind of getting away from me a little bit. When we come back, Charles Davis at 40 past. Do you love football? Do you love Monday nights? Do you love Jack? Then get with the program. Get on down to Hooters. Catch the game and play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are only a few questions away from a chance at making some bank. You win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It's easy to play. It works like making prop picks. Like, who's going to win? It might be you, but not if you don't play. And it can't get any easier than it is right now to play. It's free. So, you love wings. You love ice cold beer. Who does not love the world-famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix. Now you can get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all of the games, eat, drink, and play for all the marbles with Hooters. Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register now, then head to Hooters for every game all season long. Get on down to Hooters.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quick reminder. So where are you going to watch the game tonight? Monday night, huge night every single week. We're all locked in. We're all watching the same football game. So you probably live for Monday nights, right? You probably like money, right? So you want to get with the program and you want to get on down to Hooters. You want to catch that game and you want to play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you're only a few questions away from a chance at making some money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks, and it's easy to play. Once again, it's like making prop picks. Like, who's going to win? It could be you. It could not get any easier, and it's free to play. If you love wings, if you love ice-cold beer, I mean, who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? Then there's no better place to be. So get in on the action. If you've got game, head on down to Hooters. Watch all the games, eat, drink, and play for all the marbles. With Hooters on Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register right now. Head on over for every game all season long. All right, so really quickly. At OC138 tweets, as a Cowboys fan, I was hoping the clapper would be fired at halftime yesterday. The thing about that is Jerry Jones, as we know, does not like to make changes in season. He doesn't like to make changes in season, but if ever there was a reason to make a change in game, it was that game. Because the Cowboys didn't bother getting off the bus. They were not ready to play. And that's all on the coach. I'm not saying they're without responsibility, the guys who played in that game, but they were not ready to play that game, which is just unfathomable. You've lost two games in a row. You had to have it. You're going up against a winless team whose quarterback was coming back from mono. You know you had to have the game, and then they no-show completely. But again, I need a whole take to give you my thoughts on that. At DRod2203 tweets, WTF does Garrett have to do to get fired? And Dak is showing he's just an average QB at best. Dude does not deserve to get paid like an elite quarterback. You know, if you want to make the argument that Garrett is unfireable, I would agree, until now. I mean, no matter what this guy did, he was always there. But you can't lose that game and think you've got job security. At Penguin488 tweets, we don't care if the Dolphins win a game or not, as long as our record still remains intact. Signed, the 72 Dolphins. Let me tell you something. Dolphins looked a lot more prepared to play that game than the Cowboys did yesterday. At Chris and St. Pete tweets, at what point does the XR4TI come into the studio with cake in tow singing happy birthday? Sincerely, the staff of TGI Fridays. Hopefully never. Hawk already brought in a gigantic box of donuts. I said, bro, that's a big box of evil.
Donuts.
Have any of you losers hit that thing yet? All of them. I'm the only one who hasn't. I got Jocko in the back of my head. Jocko screaming at me. What, you don't have the will of a donut? You don't have a stronger will than the will of a donut. Your will is not stronger than that of a donut.
Donuts to me just represent the absolute epitome and pinnacle of things that you should stay away from. Because let's face it, donuts have absolutely zero nutritional value whatsoever. They are purely made to taste good and give you nothing but make you fat and unhealthy. So when I see a donut, I just get angry that there's a donut. And what I find funny is, you know, I work with businesses all over the country, and what's funny is, for some reason, donuts make people feel so immediately gratified that people just bring donuts into the office and give them away to everyone for free. And, yeah, I'm not a big fan of donuts. Donuts are sugar-coated lies. That's all they are. And they're lying to you with their beautiful taste and their jelly-filled center. So don't believe the lies and stay away from donuts. Your life will be better, I promise.
You know what's weird about that? I love that guy. He's one of my favorite guys. But every time I hear that, I want to go eat a donut. I agree with one part of that. Well, I mean, I agree with the entire thing. But the part that I really agree with is what he said when he said, whenever I see a donut, I get really mad. Same with me, because whenever I see a donut, I want to eat it. And it really pisses me off. And I haven't yet. Hawk, did you? Alvin, did you? Rit, did you? Everybody has but me. I went Quest Bar.
Eat it, Hud.
And you know I'm going for old Trapper in a minute. Pauly T. Wall tweets, Romy, how many times does Ritt need to stop and catch his breath when blowing out the candles on his birthday cake? And finally, Rome, so that Yankees-Astros playoff game went on until 1 in the morning. Big deal. I don't see anything wrong with that. Signed, DA's smack-off call. I'm going to say it one more time. He's a paid professional that willingly took part in our event, and I appreciate that. Like, he's above that. He's got his own show. He has his own career. He's got his own brand. He didn't need to do that. Brian and Charlotte wore beaks driving to Vancouver just to celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving. Charles Davis joins me when we come back. NFL and Fox analyst, Arizona running back Chase Edmonds next hour. Right now, here is your spot.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If it's Monday, you know we're doing the ATP, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So what you want to do is go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. I will answer one of them later on in the program. And remember, you got to ask me at that address. Don't tweet it. Don't email it. Don't do it on the phones. CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are efforting Charles Davis, and we'll run him down momentarily. I'm eager to talk some Arizona Cardinal football. They've got a couple of wins now. Chase Edmonds is an explosive young player. He's coming up next hour. We're talking to Patriots lineman Lawrence Guy, and that's coming up in hour number three. That ALCS game last night was wild. I mean, that was like 5 hours of tension. And the Yankees gave Houston all they could handle going up against Justin Verlander. Unbelievable chess match last night. And Carlos Correa going deep to end that thing. Or we'd probably still be there right now. Meantime, I mentioned Atlanta is having a really tough week. The Nats continue to roll. Pretty amazing, that team. Known as a franchise that could never get it done when it mattered, suddenly can't lose when it does. What? What? Little extra juice. Hawk, not only do you look utterly ridiculous in those capris that aren't made to be capris, dude, why are you walking like that? Now what? You ran a half marathon yesterday. Did you run them in those pants? That would explain why you're walking like that. Dear Jim, I dissent from Jocko's analysis on donuts. What he fails to consider is carbs and fats are essential macronutrients for building muscle. Furthermore, the human body needs calories to function properly. Signed, Bro Science Guy. Drew in West LA. When it comes to matters like that, I do not argue with Jocko. Especially when it comes to the so-called sugar-coated lies. I mean, can anybody really dispute what he said about a donut? He's right. They have no nutritional value. They do nothing other than make you fat.
Fat?
Rome, the Chargers can't fill a 28,000-seat soccer stadium with their own fans. I can't wait to see what it looks like in an 80,000-seat stadium. Dan in Richmond. That's not unfair. Even worse were the Niner fans coming in and taking over that house yesterday. That felt like a Niner home game. All right, joining us right now is an NFL Network analyst, an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. He is a good friend of the program. He is Charles Davis. Charles, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well, and if I might add, a happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Charles. I appreciate that. That's great of you to say. All right, so you were in Minnesota for the Eagles and Vikings yesterday, and the Vikings had struggled in the passing game early in the season. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs were clearly frustrated by things. When you watch Kirk Cousins over the course of the season, what kind of quarterback did you see coming into yesterday?
Well, I saw a guy that, you know how we overuse terms, Jim? I mean, let's face it, when buzzwords hit, we take them and beat them into the ground, right?
Sure.
So when a quarterback really takes care of the football but doesn't really press things, right, you don't get a lot of offense, you get good numbers, but at the end of the game you walk away going, but what did he actually do? We use the term risk-averse, don't we?
Right.
And that's what you thought of with Kirk in a lot of cases. Now, I've seen him push it before. We did a game of his with Washington at Seattle a couple of seasons ago, and late in the game pushed it downfield to Josh Dotson and won an improbable game, but not enough of that, right? His record against above 500 teams, against teams in top 10 on defense, all of those are negative numbers for him. But after the firestorm of Stephon Diggs not showing up for meetings, getting fined $200,000, after Adam Thielen's post-game comments where when you saw it in total, you knew it wasn't a rip at his quarterback, but really how are we running on offense? But his bottom line is that's how it was taken. We've seen a different Kirk Cousins the last 2 weeks, and I think part of that has to go to, or I should, part of the congratulations have to go to Kevin Stefanski and the offensive staff, their offensive coordinator. They got aggressive, Jim, and they said, we're going to push it a little bit more. You need to come along. And Kirk Cousins did. And look at the Giants game. Okay, great. So we can discount that because the Giants weren't that great on defense. This past week in Philadelphia, who had 10 sacks the week before against the Jets team, who just beat Dallas. They took their shot. He fit the ball into some tight windows. He threw the ball deep, and boy, did they have a game. And I think they're going to try and play that way the rest of the season because Mike Zimmer, their defensive coordinator slash head coach, or should I say head coach slash defensive coordinator, he's gotten more aggressive on his defensive calls as well. That Vikings team has a different vibe to it.
Charles Davis joining us. He actually gave me to my next point. I was going to say, it's one thing to do it against the Giants because, as you point out, Charles, everybody said, great, that's the Giants. Do it against somebody who matters. Do it against somebody like Philadelphia. And then he did that. So to your point, pick that up. Is this something you expect them to carry throughout the season, or do you still have questions?
No, he should carry it throughout the season, Jim, because if he doesn't, to your point, the questions will still be out there because the questions are going to remain all the way through the rest of the year. You know that after all these years that Kirk has played, he's still in a prove-it stage to people, right? You don't erase a well below 500 record against good teams with a couple of ball games. He has to do it consistently. The Vikings have to show up in the playoffs. He's got to consistently beat good teams, he and his team. But I like where they're going offensively. Remember, Kevin Stefanski is a first-year offensive coordinator, but they married him up with Gary Kubiak as a consultant. And Kevin was all on board for that because he knows Clint Kubiak and he knew Gary. And that is starting to work for them. The running with Cook, throwing it to other people. The kicker is it felt like a firestorm, and you know, with all these receivers complaining. And Kyle Rudolph, and you know him, Jim, he's one of the nicest guys in the league. I teased him, and I told Kirk to his face. I teased Rudolph and said, hey, you ought to go ahead and complain about not getting the ball and tell Kirk right. Coming on his podcast. And maybe you'll get a few balls thrown to you. And we all got a kick out of it. But look at the last 2 weeks. Thielen says something. Last week he gets seven balls, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Diggs misses the meetings and the whole deal. This week, he's the primary guy. I told Rudolph, you better get on board, dude. You're going to get left behind.
That's funny.
These guys are getting all the passes.
I like that. Charles Davis joining us. All right, so where does that leave Philadelphia? They've had an up-and-down season. They've beaten the Packers in Lambeau, but they lost to the Falcons. They were blown out by the Vikings. And now you've got Doug Peterson, who already called a shot. He said Philadelphia is going to go to Dallas on Sunday night, quote, and we're going to win that football game. Look, Charles, it should come as no shock that a head coach expects to win a game. But what do you make of him making a public statement like that?
I think he's trying to show his team that he's confident in them. I think he's trying to show his team that hey, look, we've had our ups and downs, and you know the Philadelphia media, and you know how the fans are. My best example is this team won a Super Bowl, what, 2 seasons ago, right?
Right.
They made it to the playoffs last year despite a ton of injuries and a backup quarterback again. They still are in first place in their division, and I ran into a person where I was going to work out, and she's like, oh, my God, the Eagles, they're a disaster. That's what you're dealing with there. So I think he's trying to pump up his team a little bit, let him know that he still has faith in him, he still has confidence. I did not like the fake field goal call right before the half, but that is emblematic of who Doug Peterson is, that he's going to push the envelope, he's going to go, and he'll be unapologetic about it. I just think that for Philadelphia now, the one thing they have to keep in mind for a team that wants to press it is that everyone knows that's their M.O. Like, if I'm on field goal block or punt return and I'm playing Philadelphia, Jim, I'm not rushing unless the game's on the line, because I'm going to play them for a fake every time, because that's kind of where they are. They are the type of team that will do that. And I would, at this point, I just want the football, or I want to see him miss the field goal. That's all I'm looking for, because when you rush them, when you do other things, that's when they can sting you with their trick plays. Minnesota was well aware of that, and they were so ready for the fake field goal. I went back and looked at it on the way home. Anthony Harris is the safety. He pretty much ran to the receiver because he was locked in on it, and he didn't care about whether they kicked it or not.
They knew. Charles Davis joining us for a few more moments. All right, so if Peterson's right in what he says, and he guarantees that win, and they win that game, and then Dallas ends up losing four in a row after winning their first three, where does that leave them and specifically Jason Garrett?
If we think the sky falls in Philly, it does the same thing over the big sky in Texas, too. And I really believe that Jerry Jones and his family and Will McClay, the personnel guy, I know they believe in Jason Garrett. But he did not get the contract extension. All right? They're kind of making him, you know, sing for his supper, so to speak. I think Jason has embraced that challenge. But they were struggling on offense yesterday. But you remember, both tackles didn't play. Okay? The other side of that is, to me, is the defense, Jim. That defense should be dominant in a lot of cases. I don't feel like they've played up to that level, especially in recent weeks. So Dak's getting all the attention, you know, after the 3-0 start. His numbers aren't the same, blah, blah, blah. All of that is true. I think if you look at the defensive side of the ball, they've given up too many big plays, and they're not as dominant as you might expect in the run game. So that's where things have to jump up, because you talk about Leighton Van Der Esch, you talk about Jalen Smith, a defensive front like Malik Collins doesn't get a lot of attention, but boy, is he tough inside. People shouldn't be able to run the ball the way that they have, and those big plays are given up on the perimeter. That would be of concern to me. Chidobe Awuzie has had a couple of those in recent weeks.
He is an NFL Network analyst. He is an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22 and a good friend of the program, my man Charles Davis. Charles, so good to have you back. I appreciate that. Thanks for starting us off.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim. Again, enjoy your birthday hanging out with knuckleheads like me. I appreciate that, and we'll talk down the road.
My man, you're the best. Appreciate you, Charles, very much. Always, always have, always will. Charles Davis. Believe me, I wish that was the type of, quote, knucklehead I could hang out with on my birthday. And not the knuckleheads on the other side of the glass. Starting with you, Hawk. Bro, I know you want to be a little bit different. I know you want to be kind of ironic. I know you feel like you're the so-called ironic hipster. Dude, there's nothing hip or ironic about wearing pants that are four sizes too small. Bro, what is that? It looks like you put them in the washer, ran them through the dryer, and thought, damn, I only own one pair of pants. I'm just going to have to wear them, I guess. Unless they're capris. And then they fit perfectly. You know, capris, the pants that just barely go up to your calves. Dear Van Smack, Hawk must be a huge fan of Chris Columbus to wear pantaloons on Columbus Day. Maybe Jarrett celebrated a bit too much in Lexington on Saturday when he was here to watch Arkansas lose to UK. Therefore, he was not in the mood to encourage Zeke to gallop through the locker room and fire up the team per his normal pregame festivities. Signed, Taylor in Lexington.
Spanking himself as he emulates riding the horse.
Should have done that. Hour number two, straight ahead. Chase.